gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Nerdy Notions with Sasha Kaplan.
Nope. I'm sorry. I can't do this.
Listen, this isn't Voices from the Grid. We don't have Ben and Brian coming in from the future.
You don't understand. This movie was so stupid. It is almost insulting to even review it.
Well, let's be honest. And I actually agree with multiple points that have been made about this film. Number one, if you wanted to do an origins film about Wolverine, you didn't have to do the adamantium stuff. You could have easily have done. So you know how, like, in the beginning of the movie, you see, like, young James, who's, like, in 1845, he's, like, a kid. And then you kind of see that montage that where they go through.
Oh, yeah, I have notes about that montage. That was the only part of the movie I enjoyed.
But that's the thing. Everyone says what they should have done is take the montage and expand on that montage, and you didn't have to worry about the other stuff because the other stuff kind of lent to itself through the other movies.
Let's be real here, though. The purpose of this movie ended up not being an origin story. It ended up being a Stryker story. Like, if you think about it, this movie's more about Stryker than it is about Wolverine. And there's so many elements introduced. Okay. You know what? Fine. I will get into this. Fine. But I'm not happy about it. So,
We're like, what, five films away from doing Dark Phoenix?
God, there's another waste of time. All right. So here's my preface. I will say this. This is very loosely, and I mean loosely, based on the X-Men Origins or the Origins comic, which was actually really good, that talked about, like, Logan's childhood. And that's pretty much where it ends, because the rest of it is borrowing from, like, all the Weapon X comics for some stupid reason, and is borrowing from stuff from X2. It was like somebody watched X2 and thought Stryker needed his own movie, but was told he had to make a Wolverine Origins movie. But we'll get to the problems of the behind-the-scenes BS that was going on, because there's a lot of that. But let's start this in Canada in 1845, where a tiny, itty-bitty, teeny-weeny little kid who is very sickly is being watched by this guy named, by this other, like, slightly older kid named Victor. The little boy's name is James, but James's father comes in to check on him, to see how he's doing. He hears a noise, so he goes to check the noise, and then there's a gunshot. And James's father got shot by Victor's father. Hashtag awkward. But as it turns out, Victor's father and James's biological father are the same D-bag. All right, so in his rage reaction, James stabs his biological father. And the mom asks, "What are you?" And he runs away. Victor chases after him. So I'm going to pause here for a second. In the comic, none of this has anything to do with Victor Creed. Literally none. And anybody who suggests otherwise needs to read a freaking comic. In the comic that this entire, like, 2-minute sequence is based on, James is a kid. And yes, the only part that they kept here is, like, the stabbing of the father part, the killing of the other father part. And that's pretty much it. And it's very, like, none of the cool elements from that comic of, like, him and Rose and this other kid. And, like, they had there was an opportunity here to really make the audience guess which one is which. Like, is this Logan? Is this not Logan? Because the comic did that very well, to the point where, like, you don't even really realize it until the end, because they do such a good job of convincing you that the other guy's, whatever his name was, the, like, farmhand or whatever, that his son is actually Wolverine. And then you get to this murder scene, and then you see the closet, and you're like, oh, this kid is actually Wolverine. All right, fine. So Victor catches up to James. He's like, we're brothers. we're going to stick together and we're going to run away because I guess there's torches and pitchforks coming in their way. And so we get our opening sequence, which is just the credits rolling as we kind of peruse through different parts of history, which, like, I guess was the Civil War, unless there's some Canadian conflict in the 1800s that I don't know about, which, like, I don't know. I don't care. I don't do Canada.
No, so... So the first war that you see is the American Civil War.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah. Second war is
World War One. Then World War Two, and then we sort of skip Korea and go straight to Vietnam.
Vietnam, yeah. Well,
even though Canada actively was involved in the Korean War.
Yeah.
But I guess Korea isn't saucy enough for Logan, for James and Victor. But whatever. So we get to Vietnam. But around World War II, Victor starts to kind of, starts doing some things that are a little iffy. He kind of starts to enjoy the killing of the people thing. And, like, he's genuinely enjoying hurting people. And then in Vietnam, they're, like, raiding a village. And somebody stops Victor from, like, I guess, raping and killing a girl, which, like, good on that guy.
Well, before that, you have the part where they first get into Vietnam and you have Victor and Logan. I mean, let's be honest, James keeps the Logan last name. He always kept the Logan last name. And
actually, his last name was Hallett.
Yeah. Well, he always still went by Logan, though.
No, he didn't. It was always Jimmy. Victor calls him Jimmy.
I don't know where Logan came from then.
That's the thing this movie doesn't explain. Yeah. That's the point.
But anyways, the point that I'm trying to get to is that even before you get to the village part, you're in the helicopter and you see Victor just picking off everybody. And Jimmy, comes up and he literally moves the helicopter. You know what that's actually a take off of? Full Metal Jacket.
Oh yeah.
Except for the part where Jimmy comes in and moves the helicopter himself, because in Full Metal Jacket there's a legitimate scene where Joker is actually, and that's the character name, his real name I can't remember, but the nickname that was given to him by his drill sergeant was Joker. And as he's flying in, you see a soldier just picking off all the Vietnamese, and I'm not going to repeat what was said because it's actually racist, and that's actually kind of a depiction of what that was.
Okay, so I have an answer to the Wolverine question. This movie does such a piss poor job of explaining that I had to use the summary on Wikipedia. So Thomas Logan, the groundskeeper, is the one who actually is James and Victor's biological father. Why his last name is Victor Creed, but his father's name is Thomas Logan, I guess it's Thomas Logan Creed. I don't know. This movie doesn't explain Jack. Yeah. But it says that, we'll talk about this scene later, but when they join the team from some missions, we'll get to that, James is using the alias Logan. Okay.
And that's from the summary.
This is from the summary. I have zero recollection of this moment in the film. So let's keep going. So Victor, as I said, is about to do something to this poor young woman, and a senior officer stops him, and then he smacks the senior officer, and somebody else comes in, and Jimmy just kind of automatically is on Victor's side because they're bros. They got to stick together. And then they end up in front of a firing squad because they killed their captain or whatever. And there's a funny moment. So we learned two things out of this whole thing. Logan and Victor both have powers, and they both have healing factors, because the firing squad does nothing. So the next thing we see is that they're still in a prison, because they clearly didn't get killed by a firing squad, and a Mr. Colonel, whatever, douchebag Stryker shows up, and he makes them an offer, that he part of a special team with special privileges, and it beats sitting in a jail cell. So I guess they agree, because the next thing we see is they're all on a plane. And Logan, for some reason, doesn't like flying, even though he had no problem sitting in a helicopter in Vietnam.
Like, which they don't really explain why.
They don't explain anything in this movie. If I wanted a movie that didn't explain anything, I don't know what I would have watched, but I probably would have done it better. Anyway. So Wade Wilson is sitting there. They just call him Wade. He's cleaning a sword, and he cannot shut up. And also, like, the things that he says aren't even funny. Like, if it was at least... Like, there's a reason why Deadpool X this movie. Because... And we'll get to the horror things of Deadpool later. But in this scene, like, Deadpool is supposed to be funny. Like, it would have been funny if he was, like, say, hitting on Victor. Or, well, like...
I think a part of the problem with that was is the PG-13 rating. Like,
okay,
Ryan Reynolds has openly admitted when it came to Wolverine Origins, or Origins Wolverine, he wanted to push it further, but because of the rating...
You still could have done more with it, even with PG-13 rating. And like, could have.
And for the record, because I got the IMDb up for the end portion, Reynolds is credited as the character playing Wade Wilson. That is the actual name of his character. And Hugh Jackman is actually billed as Logan/Wolverine. So even though he's called Jimmy and James all throughout the film, it is not even acknowledged in the credits.
Like, yeah, because this movie is stupid. The plot of this movie is stupid. This movie is just stupid on so many levels. But let's get into those levels.
Yep.
So Wade is cleaning his swords. He doesn't get along with Victor. We also see Fred Dukes, who is the Blob. What he's doing here, I really don't understand, because Blob is a member of the Brotherhood of Evil Mutants. But whatever, Stryker was also a preacher. So, like, clearly... nothing makes sense, and we don't give two shits about the comics, clearly. So then we see this guy named Bradley, who is, like, I guess he's some kind of technopath. His powers are not... nobody's powers are explained, other than, like, you're a mutant, but what do you actually do? Doesn't matter. So Dukes has tattooed some girl that he met yesterday, and he's, like, in love with her or whatever. I don't care. So they arrive in front of some kind of building with excellent security or something. And we see Agent Zero go in first. And not gonna lie, watching him reload his guns was traumatizing. Mostly because that's not how you reload guns. You actually have to pop it in place and oh my God, I cannot even. Like, did nobody even bother to Google how do you actually reload a gun? Because that's not how it works. Oh my God. Ooh, I don't like this guy just because of that. Like, just that's it. That's the moment that ruined the character for me. So Fred goes into the tank and he punches the tank. That was pretty cool. So they go into this elevator and there's elevator music. Also, I don't think we ever find out where exactly it is. It's kind of assumed that it's somewhere in Africa.
It is
because
in
of
Africa.
Later. But I don't remember if there's a title card.
So it is in Africa, and the reason for that, let me find it real quick. I was just looking at it. Because the African, the businessman that they went after is played by Hakim K. Kazim.
No, that I knew.
Yeah, so they're in Africa because of that scene.
Yeah, anyway,
they didn't do a good job of explaining where they were for the businessman part, but they did a decent job of explaining the village part.
Sort of, but anyway, so they get to this guy, and this is the only cool thing Wade does in this movie, which is also really stupid and cliche, is the whole swords, when the swords are able to repel the bullets, babe, you're not Wonder Woman, it ain't cute, but whatever, fine. So they get to this guy, they walk through all of his henchmen, and he's like, oh, do you want my money? And, I remember watching for the first time, I'm thinking, did, this guy double-cross Stryker or something? No. Stryker wants some totally random-looking moon rock trinket that is on his table. And he's like, where'd you get it? He's like, oh, this village, a few miles away from here. And I guess, I don't remember if they kill him or let him live. It doesn't really matter. But, let's see. They go to the small village to find out the source of this rock. And for some reason, Wade is an interpreter too for a random African dialect language that we know nothing about. We don't even know what country they're in. But whatever. So the guy tells him that the meteor, that like this came from a meteor, and that basically the entire village is being held hostage by this crew of Neanderthals. And the guy that they're interrogating, he's like, this is a sacred rock. Like, it came from upstairs. He's like, yes, I understand where it came from. It came from space, but like, I need to know where it is. And he's like, it's sacred. I can't tell you. And he's like, we're just going to start killing people. And this is where Wolverine kind of, let's see. So James tries to kind of stop them from killing this man. He saves someone else. Like, I think Victor goes after a woman. He stops Victor. James is so done with him. Like, this is his tipping point. Like, they're just going to massacre an entire village over a rock. So he's like, I'm done. I'm out of here. And Victor says something along the lines of, we can't just let you walk away. I'm like, you're not doing anything to stop him. And like, why can't he walk away? Like, he's been doing this for several, I assume, years or however long. So maybe like a year or something like that. But at the end of the day, he walks away and nobody does anything to stop him. Stryker doesn't even bat an eyelash. So we flash forward to 6 years later in the Canadian Rockies, where no one lives except moose.
And lumberjacks.
And apparently lumberjacks and cute little school teachers that are completely pointless to the plot. I'm going to get to this because I have so many issues with this movie. So Logan has a girlfriend. Ooh la la. She does not have a name. They literally do not refer to her by name until like majority of the way through the movie. So for now, until she is named, she's going to be girlfriend because she has literally nothing else to do. So girlfriend is a school teacher while Logan works as a lumberjack. But we flash back to an Ohio, or I guess we kind of move to a different point in the story, to an Ohio carnival, where Bradley is at the carnival and he's like a circus act and he has a light bulb and he's like, three tries to figure out how to shut off the light bulb. And you can't shut it off unless you punch him in the face or something. Like, he's the one that's doing it. So anyway, at the end of the day, he makes some money. He goes to his trailer. Victor shows up and kills him. That's literally the only point of this. To what end is not revealed ever. Like, the rest of them, I can kind of understand because we see something that happens to one of them later and we see the after effect of it. But for Bradley, it doesn't really make sense why he's killed, but whatever. Logan, meanwhile, wakes up from a nightmare and his girlfriend apparently knows everything. Like, is it the wars? Which one? He says all of them. Okay. I guess the director, I have his name somewhere. He wanted to do something along the lines of like PTSD, but Fox apparently said that was too like serious for a comic book movie. And then Marvel shows up and is like, have all the PTSD. But that's later.
Director is Gavin Hood.
Yes, Gavin Hood. Anyway, so Stryker and Zero arrive with a job offer for Logan. And basically the job offer is like, help us stop whoever is killing your former teammates. We don't know. They killed Wade and they killed Bradley. We like totally don't know who did it. No clue whatsoever. It's just completely new to us. But someone is, let's see. So the country needs you. That's what Stryker tells him. And Logan gets in his car and says, I'm Canadian. That was a nice touch. They remembered he was Canadian. It's literally the only thing about his origin story they remembered, but they remembered he was Canadian. So the girlfriend calls his powers a gift. They are, I guess he like goes to pick her up and they like trade off who has the car and when, because that's so cute. So they get there and the road is blocked off and there's like these two dudes just like chilling, talking to each other. And Logan gets out. He's like, hey, can you guys just like move the car, your car, so we can pass by? And the guy just like, one of the drivers is just acting like a jerk. And the girlfriend's got powers because she like convinces him to just like calm this dude to just calm down and let them go. And he's like, have you ever used that on me? She's like, please, I couldn't even get you to stay in the car. So this is where I started, because like I really didn't remember a lot about this movie. Like I barely remember the girlfriend. So my first thought was like, she probably works for Stryker somehow. Like, how else did he track Logan down? It's not like he's blasting away what he is on the internet that doesn't exist. Also, this is supposed to be 1979. That was very poorly constructed. I don't think they actually know what 1979 looked like. It just like from the costumes and like the, it was weird. All right, anyway. So next day off, we see the girlfriend sees Sabretooth on the road, and then Logan feels something or hears something, and then he sees a decapitated wolf and knows exactly what's wrong. So he goes to the girlfriend and she's missing, and then he finds her dead. Cool, they just refrigerated the girlfriend. How original. I'm sure she won't be back at all. Let's see. So Victor is at a bar, and then Logan tracks him down. There's a bar fight. Stabby, stabby. Logan gets crushed by lumber. Then he gets thrown in front of a car. It's fine. Sabretooth says that they're not like anyone else. I don't know. You're mutants. Your powers are not, like, everybody's powers are different pretty much. So, like, yes, technically you are not like everybody else, but that doesn't make you special. So Logan wakes up in the hospital with, like, obviously no stab wounds or anything like that, because, you know, healing factor. Stryker offers help, says he swears on his son's life that he didn't know it was Victor, which we know is a lie because Stryker doesn't actually love his son. And so Logan is now fueled by revenge. Convenient, isn't it, that right after Stryker shows up, Victor does and kills the girlfriend. So Stryker offers tools to help him, and he says, you will, you know, face the biggest pain you've ever faced in your entire life, but you're going to get revenge, so it's dope. So they're going to make him indestructible by essentially infusing him with the metal that they extracted from the creepy space junk, which is called, drumroll please,
adamantium.
Vibranium! No, I'm just kidding, it's adamantium. let's see. New dog tags are given to him. Oh, there's a scene that I should mention at one point where the girlfriend tells him some kind of Native American legend about a moon and a wolf or a wolverine or something. Wolverine. And that's where we get the name Wolverine.
Yeah.
Okay. So then they say that, so they inject him with a lot of adamantium and it's really, really painful, but he's fine. He lives. And then Zero is talking to Stryker about how they're going to take him to the island and use his DNA for 11. And then like, they're going to wipe his memory. So all of this doesn't matter. And you know, maybe don't have this conversation with somebody that has an enhanced senses in the room because he hears all that. And obviously escapes in his naked self. Why did he have to be naked? I mean, I know he was like submerged, but like they couldn't have given him like booty shorts or something.
Maybe, I don't know. It's
Hugh Sometimes Jack- I think Hugh Jackman likes the naked scenes.
Well, okay. So a few weeks ago, or maybe about a month ago now, he actually did a commercial for an Australian boot company, where he's completely in the nude, but the boots.
I'm telling you, I think he just likes being naked.
I mean, the guy works out like a like.
Hey,
a monster.
I am not complaining. All right, I'm not complaining.
I mean, with the workout regimen he has to do to keep that physique for the character, I think he's allowed to do that every once in a while.
Once in a while? All right. I think it's like in every movie he's in, but whatever. Let's see. Logan breaks out. He has metal claws now. Stryker has to hunt him down. So he stumbles into a barn and he meets a sweet little old man who's just so nice and doesn't ask too many questions. He's like, are you on drugs? He says, nope. He's like, all right, well, take the blanket. Don't scare my wife with your, And I'm just going to take this, like wrap yourself around this blanket. I'm like, dude, if you have a son, I'm pretty sure your wife knows what that look, what that's supposed to be. But maybe she just hasn't seen one like that. Anyway, and come have dinner at the house.
We're trying to hide that Hugh Jackman bulge.
I mean, fair. It's fair. Like, you don't want your wife to see this hunking physique of a man. So they give him like clothes that belong to his son. They feed him dinner. He breaks their toilet. It's fine.
No, he broke the sink.
Fine.
And toilet, he broke the and he broke the radiator.
Yeah.
Or the water heater, whatever it was.
You know, they took it pretty well. They gave him a place to sleep in the barn because he can't break anything in the barn. But anyway, in the morning.
And also, one of the other key things that came out of this was he ended up getting the signature Wolverine jacket. I'm getting to that.
That happens the next morning. God. Let's talk about the throwaway plot devices that are these sweet old, this old couple. As soon as I saw them on screen, I'm like, yep, they're going to die. That's it. Like, it's really obvious. So anyway, they talk about a bike, and he gives him his son's jacket, which is, like, a really dope-looking jacket. Guessing kid probably died in Vietnam. Anyway, so the old couple is killed by Zero via sniper rifle. And then there's a chopper chase. But there's a funny moment where Logan sits on the bike, and it, like, sinks. And he's like, dude, how much do you weigh? And Logan's like, I gained a few pounds recently. Yeah, that medal is a ding, 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 ding. Let's see. So there's a cool scene where Wolverine, like, does something with one of the trucks and then flies through the air and then, like, cuts his claws on the helicopter. That was the only cool scene out of this. I think they really stretched out this chase.
And this is actually one of the scenes where apparently people are like, oh, you can still see the green screen in the scene, like when he's on the helicopter. And I'm like, I just watched it again yesterday, and I'm like, I don't see green screen.
I watched it a few hours ago, and like, granted, like, I wasn't super invested, so like, I didn't care whether or not it was there or not, but okay. Let's see. So Logan obviously walks off scot-free. Zero dies because he talks about, like, he talks to Stryker via comm, and then Zero says something that was like, how innocent people tend to die around you. And so as Wolverine's going away, he like sees the oil that's like leaking, the gas, and he just like snicked. Because let's be real, Zero was a throwaway character anyway. Then this is where things, so the first part of this movie, which is like this part leading up to Wolverine getting his claws, is, it's okay. It's not great, but it's okay. I'm still not floored, but all right. This is where shit starts hitting a fan, and it just goes, woo! Because Stryker says that an adamantium bullet is going to be the thing to fix everything. How that works, we don't get an explanation.
Yeah, he does. He says that if he gets one in the brain, he can wipe
that. He says that later. He doesn't say it at this point. That comes at the end, and it's still a stupid explanation. Anyway, like, Logan has a healing factor. Anyway, so we'll get to that part when we get to that part, but I have issues with this. So Stryker finds a young mutant he's been looking for. We flash to a high school where a kid with red shades. I wonder who that could be.
It's James Marsden. Oh, wait, no, it's not.
I wonder who it could be. You know what? It's Hank McCoy. That's who it is. Mm-hmm. No, obviously it's Scott, who wears red shades. So, okay, in the comics, as far as I remember, Scott doesn't get the red shades until he meets Charles. So does he have his powers? And if he has the shades and he has powers, why hasn't... So if he has the shades and he has powers, why isn't he with Xavier? Question one. If he doesn't have his powers, how does he have the shades? And how does Stryker know where to find him?
So the exclamation, or the exclamation.
You mean explanation?
Yeah, that thing. The explanation that they utilize in the film is that, and this is something I know does kind of help with this, because I've done it before, is that Scott says that he's having headaches, which can be caused by lights.
And right.
And if you talk to anyone who has suffered like post-concussion syndrome and stuff like that, they will tell you that they will wear shades.
Right, but to like help reduce dark shades, headache. Right? But like dark shades, not like red shades.
It depends. It depends on the sensitivity that you're having to the light.
Okay.
So if your sensitivity isn't as extreme, then yeah, you could wear like a color shaded.
Okay. Sunscreen. Real world, totally get that explanation.
Yeah.
In comic world, in this movie world, no explanation is given. So we can speculate.
He's having headaches.
Fine. But again, he could say, like, I'm having a light sensitivity. Again, it's the 70s, so, like, whatever. Nobody actually cares about kids and medical conditions. But it's just, it's not well explained. But, okay, even the headaches, he wears shades, fine. There have been a few variations where I guess he could have had some dorky pair of shades beforehand that he, orphan child, whatever. But the rest of my explanation stands, my confusion stands. Anyway, so the kid gets detention for having a light sensitivity issue that the teacher just like didn't care about, but whatever. The kid goes to, so he's in detention at the end of the day, and he sees Victor just like creepily looking at him, and for some reason he just knows that this person is dangerous and I need to run away from him, instead of like, I don't know, like this is just a creepy dude, I'm gonna leave the room kind of thing. But ultimately, we do see that his powers seemingly manifest right in that moment, and he's captured. So again, how did Stryker know? He doesn't have Cerebro, so as we know from X2. So like, how did he know? All right. So Stryker, let's see. John Wraith, that's the teleporter dude. Played by Will.i.am, that's his name, right?
Yeah, Will.i.am.
So Logan goes to see him, and he says that they were hunting mutants for Stryker, and that they were taken to someplace called the Island, and only Dukes knows about the Island, because apparently he's had some depression issues, and him and Zero formed a bond or whatever, and now the blob has been blubbier. He's got some eating disorder issues. Anyway, so Logan goes to see him, and he's like, you gotta tell me, bub. And Dukes interprets that as him saying blob, and flies him across the room. Basically, he ends up boxing against Fred, and like, where is Victor? What's the Island? Scott runs away, so he already has whatever. Victor works for Stryker, excuse me, can't read my own handwriting. And we know that Stryker and Victor run the Island together, because this is something that Fred tells James. So Stryker gets Scott for Stryker and says, like, is our deal still on? And Stryker's like, oh yeah, dude, totes. So the Island is full of mutants that are, this is where they're taken after Victor catches them, and he experiments on mutants. John's got some guilt issues, and he agrees to go with Logan because they know that there's one prisoner whose name was Remy LeBeau escaped from there. How do you escape from an island?
When you talk to people who escaped Alcatraz.
Right, so you need a boat.
Or you just hop in the currents.
Depends on the weather, depends on the location. I have no idea where this island even is. It could be in Alaska.
Yeah, well, we'll find out eventually.
So Stryker is basically combining powers, and John's a teleporter, so they go to New Orleans, to the French, to some I don't know, place.
The French Quarter of Louisiana.
It's probably the French Quarter because Remy LeBeau. And we meet Remy LeBeau, who has boring, average-looking eyes and absolutely no Cajun accent and looks nothing like Gambit other than being a white dude with dark with brown hair. And, oh, he has a hat and a pimp cane. Because that's what I remember from Gambit, the pimp cane. He had, like, this movie.
Well, it helped him run up that wall.
Which makes no sense whatsoever. Like, Gambit doesn't have super strength. You'd have to, like, seriously punch that stick into the wall in order to do that. Freaking. This movie sucks. Victor is there, and he talks to John. He kills John because John is predictable. Logan tries to convince Gambit to help him. Remy's powers are sparkly cards. We don't really see him use his powers really after this point. And unless I knew who Gambit is from the comics, which, mon cher, I do, I have no, like, if I'm just, a, like, I know what his powers are. Anybody who's watched the 90s X-Men cartoon knows what his powers are. The average viewer has no idea, just that he can make cards sparkle. And, like, in the comics and in the show, his cards didn't just, like, sparkly sparkle. They glowed. And, like, he uses one of those cards to, like, knock Logan out the window. But it's just, like, it's like all of their CGI was wasted on something else. And this, they didn't have any budget left over to properly animate the glow of Gambit's powers. The one thing they did was, like, his eyes, like, glow red for a second when he uses his powers, which also doesn't make any sense. Because the powers are pink and the eyes are red. I'm asking random questions, aren't I? Nobody wants the answer. Nobody will ever get answers to these questions, but here they are. So, Logan gets blasted. He meets Victor. Remy gets knocked out. There's another fight. Victor leaves. Then he fights with Remy. Logan breaks his stick in two. But then he uses it to scale the building, which was really stupid. And then there's, like, a funny scene where Logan is, like, shredding the fire escape.
Yeah.
Which was kind of dumb. Like, if this was a cartoon, this would be really funny. In real life, less cute. Anyway, so Stryker, mutant powers, body on table. He's talking to this general dude, and the general's like, why didn't you tell us your son is a mutant? Like, all right. So he kills the general because the general wants to pull his funding. And Logan hates flying for some reason as they fly to the island. Basically, he convinces Remy to help him. So the island is located, I guess, in or around a nuclear reactor, because nobody would ever look at a nuclear reactor. Logan jumps into the water, and then Logan sees kids and Scott, and he just, like, walks right in. And Stryker's like, ah, yes, Logan, hello, as he's, like, watching an operation happen. But there's something else. So Stryker is supposedly taking these kids' powers or these people's powers. How does he do that? Because, like, the people whose powers he takes still have their powers. Things that are never explained. Brought to you by Fox. So Logan jumps in the water. Like I said, he enters without any issues. Security is apparently terrible in this building. There's, like, no guards anywhere. So this is where Stryker reveals that I planned the whole thing. And that the girlfriend was, shocker, is perfectly alive. And she worked for Stryker. We still don't know her name. The death was staged, and she's the mute. This is where we actually get her name. That she is her name is Kayla, and she has a sister who is being held prisoner. Her sister's name is Emma, And she can turn into a diamond. Waste of characters. So Kayla doesn't really... So Kayla does sort of exist in the comics. She's credited, as I think, as Kayla Silver Fox, which is like one of Wolverine's great loves that dies. But she's never referred to as Silver Fox, and I don't think she even has the same powers, but I'm not sure. Also, like, way to waste a Native American character. So Wolverine is the fool who got played in her story, and just Kayla just wants her sister back, and I guess this was the deal. But Stryker's like, oh, your sister's mutation is like really complex, and we just need a little bit more time to study. I'm like, dude, you're literally holding people prisoner for no crime. You're just evil. So Victor shows up and tells him to like let him go or not let him go, or that he wasn't planning to let them go. I rewound to check the dialogue and it was really unclear what he actually said. He's like, let them go. Don't let them go. It was very weird dialogue. So he wants what he did to James. Stryker says he can't handle it and he doesn't want to lose his favorite soldier. And Victor's like, oh, I can handle anything he can. And Stryker says he can't. And it's never explained why that is, because they have the same healing factor.
It probably has to do with probably with the mental psychosis. Because keep in mind, Logan is a bit more mentally stable, at least in the films, than Sabretooth. Sabretooth, especially with the Liev Schreiber.
Yeah, version, but still not
a... He plays more of an unstable version of the character, and they probably looked at it from like, you wouldn't pass the psych test to be able to do this.
I don't think Stryker cares about a psych test because he literally makes Wolverine angry and murderous and then does the thing. So, no. Headcanon not accepted. So Kayla's mojo doesn't affect Sabretooth or Wolverine for some reason. That's never explained. Maybe her powers don't work on mutants. I don't know. Anyway, Wolverine comes to Kayla's rescue, but he doesn't kill Victor because he's not an animal. Kayla tries to get Wolverine to help her sister, so they go to rescue the kids as Stryker releases Weapon 11. This is what I call cameos galore. There's a bunch of like references to like different X-Men that is never elaborated on, and we will never see these characters again. Except maybe Banshee. Maybe. But this is... And it's also, like, not even kids of powers that we see in Weapon 11. So it's just a waste of time. Because we need more kid characters. I don't know. Anyway. So Wolverine opens the cages. The kids are free. Jimmy's cool with Kayla now. I guess they made up or whatever. So we see the Weapon 11, which is Wade Wilson with his mouth sewn shut and just looking bald. And yes, I know that there was a body double of, Atkins, because Ryan Reynolds had like other filming scheduling thingies going on. But anyway, so he has a healing factor, freak of nature kind of a thing. Scott was useful because like the security guards finally showed up and started blasting the kids, and Emma uses her diamond form and Scott's like, I can help, trust me. And so she uses her diamond form, and this is totally not Emma Frost, apparently, according to Bryan Singer, because he's so smart and knows everything.
Well, according to the IMDb, it's Carol Frost.
It's Emma Frost, okay? I'm sorry. They named her Emma. They said her sister Emma, I think.
Yeah, but the credits have it as Carol for whatever reason.
Well, it's still Emma Frost, and you can't convince me otherwise because Carol Frost doesn't exist, as far as I know. Not that I care that much about Emma Frost. But anyway, so Scott takes off. So Emma, Diamond Girl, uses like to shield Scott so he can like laser away all the bad guys. He's like, did I do it? It's like, yeah, you did it. Okay, great. So they rescue, let's see, where did I go? Kayla gets hurt somehow. The kids are running, but they're not sure where to go. Scott hears a voice that tells them to go left. James fights with Wade and he gets his ass whooped. Sabretooth shows up because killing James is his job. Logan cuts off. Basically, he ends up attacking. They do like this back-to-back thing. And then they end up cutting off Wade's head off. Logan does that because he's got like Sabretooth in a pinch, whatever. Stryker loads the gun with the adamantium bullets. And he says that his memories won't grow back, even though the parts of his brain will. When did Stryker become an expert in neurology? All right, well, take that explanation under advisement and throw it off a cliff. So he's going to erase Logan's memories. At this point, I don't get the point of erasing Logan's memories other than, like, to save his own ass and get revenge, I guess, even though it's really not clear what the point of that is at this point. So the building starts crumbling and Gambit shows up. Logan tells him to go help the kids, so he leaves. Gambit goes to help the kids as Kayla is dying for real this time. So he like picks her up and carries her over. But of course, Stryker shows up and starts shooting. He drops Kayla. And then finally, as like he's about to like pounce on Stryker, he like shoots him in the head. So Kayla works her powers on Stryker, but doesn't kill him. She's like, I'm not like you. So she says, walk until your feet bleed and then some more. And so he starts walking. So the kids get out of the bunker and there's a helicopter. I'm sure they can all fit in that helicopter. There's like 30 kids, but whatever.
Oh no, correction. The actress Tana or Tanya, spelled weird, McManus, does play Emma, also known as Kayla's sister. What it is that apparently her mother is Dr. Carol Frost.
Where?
Asher Keddy plays Dr. Carol Frost. She's one of the doctors that's working with.
You mean that Stryker. Doctor whose name we never see?
Yep.
Is never mentioned? Wow.
Yep. The two doctors were Dr. Cornelius and Dr. Carol Frost.
So question, since you're on the IMDb, is Kayla credited as just Kayla or is she credited as Kayla Frost or Kayla Silver Fox?
Kayla Silver Fox.
I mean, I guess they could be half sisters, but that's really frustrating and no explanation is given. And like, this is the problem. I should not have to go to an IMDb or Wikipedia page to understand these things. So the kids get out and there's a helicopter and there's a Charles Xavier. How did he know he needed to be there? We don't know. How did he know to reach out to the kids that they were escaping and that he needed to get there? We don't know. The obvious explanation like is going to be that the kids get into the helicopter and they get taken to Xavier's school for gifted mutants until their parents can pick them up. But like, how did he know? Why was he there? So Gambit comes back and Logan wakes up and doesn't remember who he is. He just remembers his name is Logan. He doesn't know Kayla, but Kayla's dead, so it doesn't matter. Gambit and Logan try to end up going separate ways. And we pan out to the island, and there's, like, this long bridge road to the island. So I guess that's how Gambit got out? This movie's really stupid. So there's an after-credit scene where Stryker is picked up by military MPs who take him into questioning for the murder of the general. And that is where this movie ends, with Wolverine being officially Wolverine, Logan, not knowing who he is. Random children we never made any emotional connection to. Leaving with Scott, with Charles Xavier. And that's pretty much it. And Stryker seemingly going to prison. This movie sucks.
So real quick, I'm going to put out a couple nuggets. Hugh Jackman did express disappointment over this movie, admitting that it fell short of his expectations and did not do the character of Wolverine justice.
That's for sure.
Subsequently, he and the rest of the crew sought to do a better job with the Wolverine, which came out in 2013, which we'll get to, I believe, in two episodes. We've already mentioned the thing about the wars. And it should be noted that in the comics, he participated in World War I and in World War II, even teaming up with Captain America in the latter.
Captain America, yep. There's a really good episode, I think, of, what was it? I'm trying to think right now. I think it's like the original X-Men, but also X-Men Evolution that actually kind of delves into it, and Captain America actually appears, which was kind of cool. I don't think he ever says anything, which was weird, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, there's Wolverine was even like I think briefly part of the Howling Commandos, but I could be wrong. It's been a while. No, he wasn't. But damn Canadians.
So it should be noted that Gambit, Cyclops, and Emma were the only credited prisoners of Stryker's Island. However,
and Scott.
Hold on, let me get there. However, it's been speculated who the other prisoners might be, which is Quicksilver, Banshee, Toad, Psylocke, Whirlwind, and Dust.
Yeah. So the Dust one is weird because I saw one that was like, oh, that's Stryker's son. I mean, it makes sense to encase Dust in a block of ice, but like this whole thing is so stupid for so many reasons. Like the prison has no collars.
Yeah.
To like they have some things to keep them from using their powers, but like Whirlwind is a gust of wind. Why can't he get out of the cell?
So,
Banshee has tape over his mouth, but why can't he remove the tape? Like, is this magic tape?
Yeah.
Like, Quicksilver also should be able to get out of that stupid harness.
So Brian
Give me
Cox,
a break.
Brian Cox, who played Stryker in X2, was interested in reprising his role as Stryker, even wanting to use the digital skin grafting visual effects that was used in The Last Stand on Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen. However, the filmmakers thought it would be easier and cheaper to cast a younger actor instead, which is why they got Danny Houston, which I'm not going to argue. I love Brian Cox. I think he's a great actor, but Danny Houston's a damn good actor, too.
To be honest, I didn't really care either way who plays Stryker because I just don't care about Stryker. I think one of the... There's so many issues with this movie. Also, like... He very clearly killed the general. So if he killed the general, that is like life in prison right there. So why, how did he show up in X2? Should be rotting in a prison cell.
Well, and this is the thing, and this is actually the next note that I'm bringing up. So it's noted that many comic book fans are very unhappy with the way Deadpool is treated in the movie, including Ryan Reynolds.
Oh, I don't give a shit about Deadpool.
Hold on, let me finish. Which also included Ryan Reynolds turning down doing the Wolverine game that they did to go with the film. However, the resetting of the X-Men timeline in X-Men Days of Future Past actually paved the way for the Deadpool movies to be made, but also to, you know, in a way, fix said issues with Stryker and other characters that had massive flaws, because obviously, like, as you noted, for Stryker, in this film, Stryker goes to jail for life, but then how is he able to do X2? So with Days of Future Past, they're able to rewrite the timeline with a whole new actor as Stryker, and is able to go a whole new path with Stryker. So, kind of like how they did it with Deadpool, it also worked for Stryker in the same note. And with
we're not judging this movie by what happens in Deja Future Past. Right now we're in 2009, pre-2010. We don't know if the X-Men will ever be rebooted, but what's interesting is that this movie was supposed to be part of a series of origin films. They're supposed to do one for Gambit, one for Magneto, which would have been amazing, but given how they've written Magneto, I'm glad it didn't happen.
So...
But
go on.
So the issues from this movie stem from the fact that the director wanted a darker story, but Fox wanted a quirkier story. and a PG-13 rating. Add that, and there was like butting, there's some serious headbutting between the two. Add that to script rewrites at the last freaking minute, and you get this mess.
Yeah.
And it is a mess.
Yeah. Also, one other note, and I find this pretty cool. So there are only two actors in the entire Marvel Comics movie adaptions that
adaptations.
Yeah, adaptations that have not had to go through an audition prior to signing. They're automatically picked for their roles.
Oh, Patrick Stewart and... oh, no, it's Blade. It's Wesley Snipes and, yeah, Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, yep. They're the only two to never audition for their roles. They're just giving it to them because everyone felt that they were the perfect ones for the roles.
So, okay, fine. I still don't understand that this movie sucks. I don't care about all of the IMDb trivia at this point. This movie just sucks. And I'm not even a fan of Wolverine, but after watching this movie, I was reminded why I don't like Wolverine and why he's an annoying character. Oh. But oh, here, I will say that... Go.
So you remember how you're talking about the... Fox and Gavin Hood having issues?
Yeah, to the point where like somebody from Fox actually like repainted the sets to make them brighter.
I'm reading it right now. So Gavin Hood and top 20th Century Fox executive Tom Rothman reportedly had clashes over the movie's creative direction. One famous incident happened while Hood was off set, at which point Rothman took it upon himself to have one of the sets repainted from Hood's original dark theme into something lighter.
Like,
damn,
I hate to say
this. Pettiness.
I hate to say this, but I think this is one of those things where, like, this movie could have benefited from being darker, which I think, like, that's what they do with the later Wolverine films. I don't know. I haven't watched them. I did see Old Man Logan, and I hated that, too.
We'll see. I mean, and that's the problem. It's like, and we're going to get into this with the DC films, especially after we get past the Nolan films, the Christopher Nolan films. Is that you see a lot more of that where the studio is overstepping their boundaries too much. Like, and I know you're not a fan of like the current DC films and stuff like that, which is fine. But you clearly tell
current films, past films, most of the films. Anyway.
But the thing is though, is that you clearly tell, especially starting with Dawn of Justice, on the DC side, not the Marvel side, but the DC side, that the studio is way overstepping their bounds from letting directors tell the story that they're trying to tell. And this is one of the clear examples right here of X-Men Origins.
Here's the thing with that. And I said this in Age of, when we did the Age of Ultron review, is sometimes the studio has a point, and I'm not here to defend studios at all, yeah. But if a studio is using a film, if a film is supposed to be part of a franchise, then yeah, they get to have more input, which is why I was on the side of Marvel versus on the side of Whedon when it came to Age of Ultron.
And I think we all agreed on that point.
Yeah. And I honestly don't, like, hold on, forget about this. This won't be relevant for a while. Let's go back to this trash pile of a movie. There is one single female character, like, largely. Like, there's a few minor background, like, two background characters, which is the Doctor Lady and Emma, and totally not Emma Frost. But there's one woman in this entire film. Like, you could have easily substituted Blob for, like, Viper or something. Or even, I mean,
well,
I don't
Viper
know.
Viper gets used in the next Wolverine movie.
Okay, fine. Then somebody else. Like, I find it really bizarre that this movie only had one female character that actually had, like, more than two lines of dialogue.
Yeah, because I'm actually looking at the cast right now. So, obviously, Hugh Jackman, Liev Schreiber, who I thought was a better Sabretooth than Tyler Mane.
I love Liev Schreiber, so...
Yeah, Liev Schreiber is an amazing actor. You had Danny Houston, again, another great actor. Will.i.am, who is a massive X-Men fan, citing Nightcrawler as
Nightcrawler, his favorite character. Yeah, which is why they gave him teleportation powers, which, like, again, not a character that exists in the comics. You just made it up for no reason.
Well, that kind of comes down between Marvel. I said this on the last episode, where Marvel pretty much made an edict of don't make any new characters in X-Men. Otherwise, Fox will have full rights to them for films. So this is one of those things where Fox created the character themselves. You have Lynn Collins, who played Kayla. Kevin Durant, who played Fred Dukes. Dominic Monaghan, who played Chris Bradley, a.k.a. Bolt. Taylor Kitsch, who played Remy LeBeau. Daniel Henney is Agent Zero, obviously Ryan Reynolds.
Although, funny enough, Kayla's actress and Gambit's actor actually start together in another movie called, what was it? He plays like a barbarian or something like that. Oh God, I had it. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Look. But the thing is, though, is that, you know, you look at that cast. And, like, obviously, Daniel Henney, Agent Zero, Ryan Reynolds, Wade Wilson. I'm not going to bother who played Scott.
The rest of them don't matter.
But the thing is, though, is that all the way up to that point of Ryan Reynolds, you literally just have Lynn Collins. That's it.
And, like, I don't understand that. Like, there's a lot of female X-Men characters, female X-Men villains that you could have done so much with. I don't get it. It's not that hard to put a woman in a movie whose job is not to be a girlfriend. But fine, this movie, like, lack of female characters is literally the least of this movie's problems. At the end of the day, this movie sucks. It got retconned, which rightfully so, and I never want to see or hear about it again.
Yeah. Also, it should be noted, as somebody who plays video games and does Twitch streaming, it should be noted that this is another instance. Now, you'll find this great. So out of all the X-Men movies that have been made, there had been this time period where almost every movie had like a video game, especially when it involved like comic book heroes and stuff like that. So like Batman Begins had a movie, and the Spider-Man movies, like the Sam Raimi ones.
Yeah, they all got games. I got it.
X-Men only had two video games made. X-Men, the official game, which came out for the Last Stand, and X-Men Origins Wolverine. They were the only two games that were actually made. It is the same thing, and I mentioned this last time when we were talking about Last Stand, where the video game is better than the movie, because in X-Men Origins Wolverine, the video game, you actually play a lot of the stuff that's actually in the montage at the beginning of the movie. You do, like, the Vietnam stuff. You do some of the other stuff. And then, you do later on hit more of the later on stuff in the film. But they do put a focus on that earlier stuff that was in the montage that you don't really get to explore in the movie.
Which is the same thing I said when you were talking about how, like, the video game for the other X-Men movies was, like, a tie-in and whatnot, and that it was, like, explain some stuff. Like, the video games don't count. I'm sorry, they don't. I'm happy that people got to play them. I do, but most people don't play video games.
Yeah.
People want to go and watch a movie. They want to watch a good movie, and this was not it. But out of curiosity, Michael, how did this movie do rating-wise?
X-Men Origins Wolverine, which clocked in an hour 47 minutes, did a 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb.
Too high.
Nope.
It's a too high.
Yeah.
I give it like a 4.
I mean, I'll say this. If you're just looking to, like, you know, kind of do like what I do and just go through all of the films and just binge watch them, you can watch it.
It has a 36% on Rotten, 37% on Rotten Tomatoes. Now that makes more sense.
So I want to throw this little tidbit. We don't do this for the films normally, but because it's in front of me, I want to take advantage of it. For budget, it had $150 million budget estimated. opening weekend at over 85 million, and it did a gross of 179, almost 180 million. And it did a cumulative worldwide gross of about a little over 373 million. So it actually, in the view of a studio, was in fact successful.
Even though the movie got leaked online
like
beforehand.
A few months before, yeah, but and the version that was leaked beforehand was an unfinished product.
Yeah.
Which is probably where the whole talk about like the green screens and all that other crap came in, because of the leak.
That's actually probably accurate. But here's what I will say. Despite this movie allegedly being successful commercially, the lack of the critic consensus on the suckiness of this movie did lead to the tabling of other projects, because after this, we don't see another X-Men film until 2011, when Days of Future Past premiered.
First Class.
Oh, sorry, I meant to say First Class, and I said Days of Future Past, but
yeah.
So this movie, while being successful, did table a lot of projects and led to kind of a stalemate until 2011. But we will talk about that next time.
Yep, because now we get into that part where you reboot the franchise and actually work your way into actually fixing the timeline.
Yeah, but then you had the same director who screwed up the first trilogy, and then you screw up the second one too.
Yeah.
So we'll get to that.
Yep. We'll get to that. And then, yeah. So I'll do my social medias first, so you can do the lead off. So you can find me on the Twitters at @thelindenbaum75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75production, txhthockey.com, and for the show here specifically, /nerdy-notions. And you can find me on Twitch playing video games, the thing Sasha doesn't do.
Occasionally, but not formally.
At twitch.tv/themichaelx75.
I play the Lego Marvel games. They're fun. But you can find me at geekgirl101.tumblr.com. If you message me and tell me what you think of the podcast, you get bonus points because you get to talk to me. You can also tweet to me at Geeky Kaplan on Twitter, Geeky Captain on Instagram, lots of things with the word geek in it. And of course, geekycaptainwrites.wordpress.com, where I will occasionally write comic book reviews. So thank you so much for suffering through this awful movie with us. And catch us next time as we see if they can really save the X-Men franchise, or if Disney should have better luck. Tune in next week.